Blog Talk Radio.
Processing the pain. Thank you for joining us with yours truly, Coach D. I just want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Again, thank you for joining us. There's so much that you could be doing on a Thursday, yet and still you are here with us on this Thursday. Glory to God. So I'm excited as I always am, and I'll tell you, Thursdays do not go without challenges. Oh my gosh. You know, it is the forces I know I'm all over the place tonight, so I'm gonna apologize in advance, but it is what it is. I do a Bible study on Tuesday morning, and I love the Bible study because it gives me time to just really meditate on the Word of God as the woman of God presents the Word and in detail and help me to understand the culture of our Savior, but, you know, his background, the culture, so I could better understand why things are the way they are as far as the Bible's written, why we have the certain commandments, why we have the holy days, you know, how it started, why it started, why it was the priest. I mean, it's just so much information. It's a lot of information. And it's not for everyone because everyone is at different levels in different places in their walk. So what could be considered as, quote, boring, unquote, for some could be very edifying for others. So she had mentioned, and I hear a lot of leaders mention, man, if, you know, for her it's Tuesday, for me it's Thursday, for some other leaders it's Sunday. It's like if we were going to be attacked, those are the days we're going to be attacked. Why? Post D's not being attacked. It's the anointing that's being attacked. It's what God is doing through us and presenting through us that's being attacked, right? And so I recognize that, and I understand that there is an attack taking place. And so I push even harder to make sure that I show up, because believe me, I could come up with 1,000 legitimate reasons to not show up on a Thursday night, but I push harder to show up. It's almost like being in labor pains. Man, you wouldn't understand this, but you watch your wives go through this labor pain when they're pregnant and they have the promise is in them and they're getting ready to birth it. There's some pain that comes with that. They have to push. They can't just lay there and say, okay, when the baby comes, it's going to come. It don't happen like that. It's labor intense. Labor means to work. You know, when you think about labor, when you hear labor, you think about pregnancy, or when you hear labor, you think about work. You know, the labor force. When I think of, I'm a human resource by profession, so when I think about the labor, I think about labor force, you know, work, hard work, labor. And the same thing with the birth, is the labor. And so I believe that for me, Thursday nights is like going through labor. You know, I'm trying to birth what this is that God has impregnated me with in his word. I'm trying to push this thing out so that it can manifest, because of the manifestation of it, then others could get the revelation of it. You know, I'm going to be bouncing back from the natural to the spiritual, because when you think about a woman who's in labor, who's pregnant, now they got technology and stuff that'll tell you what you have, and if it's a boy, if it's a girl, if it's, you know, all that. But just think back in the days when they didn't have that technology. You didn't get the revelation of what the baby was until the baby was healed. You didn't get the revelation of what the baby was until the baby is, right? So same thing for me on Thursday. If I don't push, birth this thing up out of me, then we will not get the revelation of what it is that God put in me to reveal. Because remember, we talked about impartation last week, and impartation was God pouring into us or others pouring into us. So tonight, God has imparted into me. So he has impregnated me. He has poured into me something that he needs me to birth out on tonight. So tonight I'm supposed to be pushing out, birthing out this thing. And we know with labor, it's painful. So on Thursdays when God impregnated me, he's been impregnating me all week, or he might have been impregnating me for weeks to deliver a certain message, to give a certain revelation. But if I was not obedient, if I decided, you know what, today I got a headache, you know, I just had a birthday, I just had this, I just had that, and I didn't push it out, then you wouldn't get the revelation of what it is that God wants us all to know, not just you, but me as well. So that's why I think for those who are in leadership or who have ministry and they've been obedient to what God has called them to, they have those days become difficult, those, you know, challenges. It mean, it'd be the most petty thing that have come up that will potentially cause us to make a decision to not show up for what God needs us to show up for. But when we don't show up, guess what? There's many people that won't get the revelation of what it is that they needed to get. Hope you all can hear me good. Because I just knew for sure I was not going to be on this call on tonight, because I had some labor pains. I had some labor pains that I had to push through. But I will make everyone aware, that in July, there is July on July the 20th, I'm just making sure that Coach D will not be broadcasting on that particular day. And I got permission from God to not do so, but I will be out of the country celebrating my 60th birthday, and I'm excited about that. And so I just want to make you all aware that on July the 20th, my birthday happens to fall on a Thursday, but I will be out of the country for 7 days. So I will be unavailable. I will be off grid. I will be offline, and I will not be available, and I will be refreshing and rejuvenating and relaxing and be ready to pick back up the following week. Amen. So without further ado, we're going to get into the Word of God. And I believe that there's a message that God wants us to know on tonight. I have a sister in Christ I was fellowshipping with, and sometimes I could get stuck because I got all this world stuff that happens and take place and different things. Like I said, I get these labor pains, and most of us want to avoid labor pains. We don't want to deal with the labor pains. But God is saying, okay, you know what? I don't want you to run from the labor pains. I need you to push. And so I was going through the labor pains, and I have a couple of sisters or brothers in Christ that when I'm going through these labor pains and I don't want to push, that I talk to, and they help me. They become my birthing coach to help me push through. And so I was talking to one of my birthing coaches this evening, and I was like, oh, my gosh, you know, I don't know. I'm so distracted. I'm so pulled. I'm so torn. I don't know if I could deliver this message. And we got to talking about what was on my heart to deliver, and we got to talking, and she inspired me. And because she inspired me, and she was there, and she said, breathe, Coach D, breathe. I need you to relax, and I need you to breathe. And how many of us know men? I know you won't get it, but the women who have children, we understand how important it is to breathe. Just breathe. And so tonight we're going to breathe forth this birth. Amen. And we're going to go to Romans. I'm going to take us to Romans chapter. And I'm going to take us from in Romans, and I'm going to start in chapter 1. And it's going to be a little read. Hang in there with us. Don't get bored. This message is going to really hit. It's going to really hit because there are so many Christians that do not know the Word of God. They don't know the Word of God. They ain't trying to learn the Word of God, and yet they say, God got their back. God got me. God got my back. God this, God that. But they don't even know who God is. And because they don't know who God is, then anything looks like God to them. I'm going to repeat that. Because they do not know who God is, everything looks like God to them. What do you mean, Coach D? So if they don't know who God is and they can't know who he is if they're not in his word, then everything looks like God. A sage look like God. Crystals look like God. Marijuana look like God. Alcohol look like God. Sex look like God. It's so many other things that look like God to them. So, yeah, they might be giving God, the God, little g, the glory, but they're not giving the God, only living God, with the capital G, the glory. They're not giving him the glory in their lives. They're not giving them the glory in their thought process, in their thought lives, in their prayer lives. They're not. Why? No more simple reason, because they don't know who he is. Why do they not know who he is? Because they don't know his word. They're not spending time with him in his word. So that's what we're going to talk about on tonight. And if the shoe fit, wear it. If it stepped on your toes, just say, ouch, hallelujah. Receive whatever it is that the Holy Spirit has for us on tonight. Take away the messenger. The messenger is screwed up. Excuse the language. The messenger is screwed up. The messenger don't always get it right. The messenger needs the message too. Take away the messenger and get the message. Embrace it. and stay near to it and hear what thus said the Lord. God has something he wants us to hear on tonight, and it's important. It's important. It's a matter of life and death for us. Amen? It's a matter of life and death. So let's get to it. Those who have the Bible, your Bible, nowadays nobody should not have a Bible because everybody got a cell phone. Everybody got a cell phone, and most people got a social media account. So if you got a cell phone if you got a social media account, most likely you got a cell phone. If you don't have a cell phone, you have a computer. So if you're listening to this show, I'm sure that you either on your computer or you're live in the studio on your cell phone. So I would beckon that you turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, I'm going to ask that you stay with me. It's going to make sense in a minute, but we got to lay the foundation of the what? The word. So let me impart into you these words that have been inspired by the Spirit of God. Amen. So Romans chapter 1, sing for us on tonight. And guess what? I love King James. That's my book of choice. That's my favorite. Tonight, I want to just be downright personal, up close and personal, and I want to keep it informal. I go to the Message, and I'm going to read it from the Message. Those of you who have King James, you can follow. It's going to probably be a little hard to follow, but if you read in King James, it tells me that you do have a level of maturity in the Word of God, so you won't have a hard time following. King James is first and foremost. If you're going to study what I'm going to share with you on tonight, I recommend that you do study it in King James. One of my other favorites is ESV as well. So that's another one. But tonight I'm going to read it from the Word. Romans 10, chapter 1. Believe me, friends, all I want for Israel is what's best for Israel. Salvation, nothing less. I want it with all my heart and pray to God for it all the time. I readily admit that the Jews are impressively energetic regarding God, but they are doing everything exactly backwards. Now, when I read the Word of God, you know, we can't add nothing to or take nothing away from the Word of God. But one thing I want you to read the Word of God on tonight. As I read the Word of God, I want you to take it personal. As I read the Word of God, I want, you know, places where I might say Israel, I want you to see that as you. I want you to see that as your you. I want you to see that as America. I want you to see that. So as I read the Word of God, I want you to just close your eyes. Allow me to read it. And as I'm reading it, your eyes are closed and you're meditating on every word spoken. But I want you tonight to take it personal. Don't let it just be letters. Don't let it just be mere words, because the Word of God says the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life, gives life. So tonight, I need you to get into the Spirit. I need you to take every word that I'm going to read tonight personal. Amen? Take it personal. So let's get back to it. So we started in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, and we ended at, I really admit that the Jews are impressively energetic regarding God, but they are doing everything exactly backwards. They don't seem to realize that this comprehensive setting things right, that is salvation, is God's business, and most flourishing business it is. Right across the street, they set up their own salvation shop and noisily peddle their knockoffs. After all, these years of refusing to really deal with God on his terms, insisting instead on making their own deal. They have nothing to show for it. The earlier revelation was intended simply to get us ready for the Messiah, who then puts everything right for those who trust in him to do it. Moses wrote that anyone who insists on using the law code to live right before God soon discovers it's not so easy. Every detail of life regulated by fine print, but trusting God to shape the right living in us is a different story. No precarious climb up to heaven to recruit the Messiah, no dangerous descent into hell to rescue the Messiah. So what exactly was Moses saying? The word that saved is right here, as near as the tongue in the mouth, as close as the heart in the chest. It's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. This is the core of our preaching. Say the welcoming word to God. Jesus is my master. Embracing body and soul, God works of doing in us what he did in raising Jesus from the dead. That's it. You're not doing anything. Simply calling out to God, trusting him to do it for you. That's salvation. With your whole being, you embrace God setting things right. And then you say it right out loud. God has set everything right between him and me. Scripture reassures us no one who trusts God like this, heart and soul, will ever regret it. It's exactly the same no matter what a person's religious background may be, the same God for all of us, acting the same incredibly generous way to everyone who calls out for help. Everyone who calls help, God gets help. But how can people call to help if they don't know who? How can people call to help if they don't know who to trust? And how can they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one who can be trusted? And how can they hear if nobody tells them? And how is anyone going to tell them unless someone is to do it? That's why Scripture exclaims, a sight to take your breath away, grand processions of people telling all the good things of God. But not everybody is ready for this, ready to see and hear and act. Isaiah asked what we all ask at one time or another. Does anyone care? God, is anyone listening and believing a word of it? The point is, before you trust, you have to listen. But unless Christ's word is preached, there's nothing to listen to. But haven't there been plenty of opportunities for Israel to listen and understand what's going on? Plenty, I say. Preachers' voices have gone round the world, their messages to earth seven seas. So the big question is, why didn't Israel understand that she had no corner on this message? Moses had it right when he predicted, when you see God, reach out to those fearless outsiders. You'll become insanely jealous when you see God reach out to people you think are religiously stupid. You'll throw temper tantrums. Isaiah dared to speak out these words of God. People found and welcomed me who never so much as looked for me. And I found and welcomed people who had never even asked about me. Then he capped it off with a damning indictment. Day after day, I beckoned Israel with open arms and got nothing for my trouble but cold shoulders and icy stares. Father God, we thank you for your word. Oh, my Lord, we just thank you. We can feel the power and your anointing and your presence, Father God, in this word on tonight. Father God, we thank you that as you go through and begin to give us revelation knowledge, Lord, we thank you for the rhema word that will be received on tonight. Father God, we thank you for this word that will penetrate our hearts. And Father God, transform our minds that we could go out, Father God, and that we could do better. But I believe, Lord, that when we know better, we will do better. And I thank you, Father God, that you said that how can they hear unless a preacher preaches? And how can a preacher preach unless you send them? Well, tonight, Father God, I thank you for Allow me to be the teacher to teach the word to your people, Father God, that they will hear it, see it, and do it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo! This is exciting. Hallelujah. I'm clapping on tonight because we read that, and hopefully it didn't lose you all too much because we read that out of the message. I wanted it to be plain and simple. Now, I'm probably going to refer back to King James as we go through, but that was the word. That was Romans chapter 10, and we read verses 1 through 20, and we laid the foundation. But that brought me to tonight. So this week, earlier in this week, God has a way of dealing with me. He deals with me every day. You know, we were talking about, Ken, you know, matter of fact, Tuesday morning Bible study was about, you know, what is the position of prayer? You know, some people feel like if they don't get on their knees and pray, they don't feel like it's valid. Some people feel like if they don't go to a quiet place and pray, they don't feel like it's valid. Some people say if somebody pray on street corners, they ain't valid. So, you know, so we were talking about that. We were talking about how things are taken out of context. You know, I've even had people say, oh, no, that's not right. You need to get on your knees, or you need to, you know, you need to set aside a prayer time. Yes, you could set aside a prayer time, but God said we are to pray without ceasing. How is it possible that we could pray without ceasing if our prayer has to be predicated by our posture, a physical posture? See, the posture is not physical. The posture is mental. The posture is spiritual. So what do you mean, Coach D? Coach D can't get on her knees to pray. And it's not because I think I'm too good. It's not because I think I'm too busy. I can't get on my knees to pray because guess what? When you get at 60 years old, my knees is not, my knees are great in the name of Jesus. My knees are the heel-resistant sickness. I don't want to see nothing in the atmosphere. But for those of you that have age on you, you know it's just our bodies have certain things that's going on, glory to God. So I say that to say that, but my posture of prayer is great, meaning my attitude of prayer, my mindset of prayer. I'm praying without ceasing. And what does that mean? That means throughout the day, all day, I'm staying prayerful. That me and God is having conversation, you know, and it's not I'm not stopping as some religious rituals require you. See, that's religion, and this ritual require you to stop, and you got to pray to the, and nothing against my, you know, nothing, but I'm just saying, you know, there's some rituals we do. We got to sell so many books. We got to sell so many pies. We got to stop at certain hours of the day and turn to different, the east, the west, the north, or the south. But thank God for God, Jehovah, that's not the requisite. We don't have to do that. We have to have our posture of prayer has to be, it's an attitude. You know, it's an attitude. This is between me and God. Me and God are having intimate conversations throughout the day. And I'd rather have that. When I'm going through my day and I'm out of order, I hear the Spirit of the living God inside of me. We call it the Holy Spirit inside of me. And he's telling me, don't you do that. Don't you do that. And then me, or you better do this, or don't go here, or do this, turn here, don't. That's all day long for me. And all day long, I'm like, Lord, okay, which, Lord, did you see that? Lord, Father God, check my attitude. Father God, help me be a better person. Father God, don't let me be at all. I'm doing this all day. I'm praying without ceasing. What is prayer? Prayer is communication with God. It's communication with God. So if you're in communication with God, you're praying. And that's the proper position or prostate of prayer is that you're in constant communication with God. You're allowing God, and we don't always get it right, but our desire as believers is to allow God to direct our path. It says the steps of a righteous man is ordered by God. That's our position, is to allow God to order our steps, to guide us, to lead us, you know, when we get into situations throughout our days, and we do, to go to God. And guess what? If you're in constant communication with God all day, then you're going to avoid a lot of stuff. Matter of fact, God has been working on me. I'm very transparent. He's been working on me because I have been going throughout my days, and I'm allowing the flow and the dictatorship of the world to dictate. What you mean, Coach D? So I'm going in stores, and because these young people don't possess quality customer service skills, I'm allowing that to irritate me. So because it irritates me, it's showing in my thoughts, in my actions, even sometimes in my words. So I'm getting an attitude. So now you've given me poor customer service, and now I'm becoming a reflection of you versus being a reflection of Christ. Ouch. And so God is showing me that, no, you can't do that. So if they're not a reflection of me and you ain't a reflection of me, then everybody just reflecting the devil. So somebody's got to be a reflection of me, Coach D. So when you go into that establishment and you got this young person that lacks quality customer service skills, you can't get mad, and now you get an attitude, and now your attitude is just as bad, if not worse, than their attitude. He's saying, no, somebody's got to reflect Jesus. So when they got a bad attitude and when they not providing customer service, don't get me wrong, it's irritating. It's irritating when you're going in somewhere and you're spending your money and you can't get the service you believe you deserve. Amen? But God is saying, we got to counteract that with something different. And I can remember a time God had shared that with me, and I was going through a fast food restaurant, and there was a young lady, and her attitude was bad. When I tell you it was bad. And it was so bad that not Coach D, but Niecy, Niecy wanted to park her car, go inside the get out the drive-thru, go inside the establishment so I could just lay into her about what she, you know, about her bad customer service. I mean, just ugly attitude. But Coach D, by the time I got to the window, I had a lot of words I wanted to give her, and they wasn't great words. But once I got to the window, the Holy Spirit had intervened. Why? Because I had been communing. I had been praying without ceasing. And when I got to the window, God had gave me all the right words. And I asked her a simple question. Do you not want to be at work today? And I said, do you not want to be at work today? And she began to cry. And she began to tell me about something personal she was going through. So that gave me the perfect opportunity to minister to her. And I was able to minister to the young lady. And you know what? I'll never probably see her again. I don't even know her name. But guess what? I planted a seed. I planted the proper seed. Now guess what? She's going to go through life. And I don't know the time or the hour. But she's going to go through life. And that seed she has, every time she hears a message, every time somebody say thank you, Jesus, every time, you know, she may not even go to church, but she's going to hear God. She's going to keep hearing the word God. She's going to keep hearing the word Jesus. That's water to that seed. And every time she hears it, that seed is growing. And at some point, she's going to be willing to give her life completely over to the Lord, and she's going to be another one of our sisters in Christ. Amen. So God is telling us we can't meet adversity with adversity. He's saying that we will only be diligent and understand that with every great adversity, there's an equal or greater reward that we'll see the manifestation of his glory. And that's really what it's about. It ain't Coach D's glory. It ain't your glory. It's about the glory of God. Are we giving God the glory? Amen. So tonight, like I said, I want to get the message. I'm getting off, but I'm not getting off track. You know, a lot of times I'll be like, okay, I'm getting off track. God has something different. No, I'm not getting off track. I'm being obedient to however the Spirit is leading me. And whatever he's leading me to say, that's what I'm saying on tonight. So we read from Romans 10. But tonight's message was about what was concerning me. What was concerning me this week was that I didn't realize how many Christians, and I'm talking about people I know that confess, that don't know the word of God. And I'm not talking about something like, oh, I memorized every scripture. I could tell you where to go to in the Bible to get it. I could tell you what it said, because that ain't me. That's not my story. I wish it was. I would be excited and honored to be able to know, you know, all the scriptures, where they at, what they say, and all of that. I think that's honorable. That's not my call. That's not me. However, guess what? I know where to go to find what I need to find. I know the word of God. I mean, I know exactly where it's at and what book it's in, but I know how to find it. Praise God. Praise God for Google. Praise God for the Bible, the actual Bible, that we are able to go and find what we need to find. But I've spoken to many people who are Christians or say they're Christians or believers, and they just don't know the word of God. They don't know it. And I talk to them. They say, well, you know, yeah, I don't really know the word, but I love God. Praise God. And God says, stop. S-T-O-P, stop. God is not pleased. He can't be pleased. And let me tell you why. That ain't got nothing to do with Coach D. Some of you, I might be stepping on your toes, but please let me. Love me anyway, because I love you, and that's why I'm sharing this with you. God is not pleased. Why is he not pleased? Let's get to it. It ain't because of what Coach D, because D say that he ain't pleased. It ain't because of what Bishop such and such said that God ain't pleased. It's the word of God that said he ain't pleased. So let's get to it. In Romans 10 that we just read, I want to read more in it because there was a lot of good nuggets in it. But let's just get to Romans 10:17. We're going to go back to Romans 10:17, and guess what? I'm going to go to King James. But we're going to go to Romans 10:17, and let me tell you why we're going to break this down, why it's important for you to impregnate yourself. It's important for you to get intimate with the word of God. It's important for you to know. Why? Because you need to know him. Not one of us. Well, maybe some of us, but most of us, and I'm talking to the single people, I'm talking about to the people that's married, because even before they got married, ain't none of us going to get seriously involved with somebody that we don't know. The dating and courting period is for us to get a chance to know the person. And when we're going through the dating period, we're getting the basic information. And then when we get to the courting period, it's a little bit more serious. The courting period is exclusive. So you meet a person, you have a few conversations, you go on a couple of dates to dinner or whatever, you're getting to know, and then you figure out, okay, thus far, what I've learned about this person I like. And so now you get to the next stage. The next stage is courting. Courting is saying, there is no, this don't follow with another date. Courting is saying, we're looking at marriage. So now we're exclusive. We ain't dating other people, and we're spending more time together. We're meeting each other's families. We're being more engaged with each other. If we had kids, because in this day and age, guess what? In this day and age, it ain't too many people that ain't been married before, and it's not too many people that don't have children. That's not God's perfect plan. It's not. But It is as a result of sin. Sin, and you know, has resulted in poor marriages. It's resulted in children with unwedded parenting. It's a result in a lot of things. So, but glory to God for God's grace in the blood of Jesus. So, but when we start courting that person, now things get a little bit more serious and a little bit more intense, right? Well, how is it that we could claim God and say we love God? Oh, I love God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How can we say all this stuff? But we don't even know the essence of him. We don't know his word. And we already found out in John 1 and Genesis 1, we already found out, especially in John 1, that God is the Word is God, and the Word was with God, and the Word is, in other words, Jesus is the Word in flesh. We've already come to that conclusion. So we come to the conclusion as believers that Jesus was the Word in flesh. So that's God, and we know the Word is God, and God is the Word, and was the Word, and with the Word. So we know all of this. How can we say we love God and we don't know him? This is the result of people saying they love God, but people are getting the wrong God. See, there's only one true living God, the capital G, but there's a lot of little gods. There's the gods of this world that start with a lowercase g. And so when people say they love God, who are they really saying they love? Because if you're not reading the Word, then you can't love God because you don't know God. So your God now is the gods of this world. What you mean, Coach D, your gods of this world is your spouses, your children, your job, your lust, your fears, your anxiety, your accomplishments, your goals. Those become your God, but they are not the living God because those gods can't manifest anything in most cases but hardship and pain, and it gives you the illusion of euphoria. What you mean? It gives you illusion that you've accomplished. It gives you the illusion that you're somebody. It gives you illusion of feeling good, but it's not God. So when we say we love God, but we ain't spending time in God's Word and we don't know God's Word, then do we really love God? God's Word say absolutely not. No, we don't. So let's go to Romans 10 and 17. In 10 and 17, it says, so then, by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's say that again, Romans 10, 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now we're going to skip over real quick, and then we're going to get back to business. To Hebrews. So save your place in Romans 10, but let's go over to Hebrews, and we're going to go to Hebrew, we're going to go to Hebrew chapter 11, and I'm going to read 1, and then I'm going to skip down to 6. Hebrew chapter 11. Hold on, bear with me here. So we know in Hebrew, because we want to understand what faith is, because this faith thing is going to play into tonight. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, first of all, tells us, now faith is the confidence, and I'm reading from the, no, I don't want to read from the NIV. I'm getting away from the NIV people, and I'm not trying to deter anybody, but I don't read the NIV because the NIV is missing a whole lot of scriptures in it. They've eliminated scriptures and anything, you know, the word of God says we're not supposed to take away or add to his word. So if somebody translated the word of God and chose to leave out some of the word of God, I'm not with it. So I don't do NIV anymore, but King James. So let's go to King James. So King James says in Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Hear that. It's the substance of things hoped. So the things you hope for that you don't necessarily see. Let me give some examples of that I want you to get a perception. So there's many examples of that, but let me give you some examples that a lot of us be hoping for, but we haven't seen the evidence of it. Financial freedom. We hoping for it, but we haven't seen the evidence. A lot of us are hoping for spouses, but we haven't seen the evidence. A lot of us that have spouses is hoping for their deliverance, but we haven't seen the evidence. You know, some of us are hoping for, certain careers, but we haven't seen the evidence of it. Many of us are hoping to be better in our walk with God, but we haven't necessarily seen the evidence of it. So that's what that looks like. So think about something that you're hoping for. Think about something that you're hoping for, but you haven't yet seen the evidence of it. It brings me back to, I remember I was hoping, now he's getting ready to be 21 on Saturday. Glory to God. But that young man, according to the world, that he was never supposed to be. My testimony is he was never supposed to happen. There was no way logical for him to happen in my life because physically there were certain manifestations that you cannot have a child. And yet, God, oh, but God. So I had my now faith was the substance of my hope. That was my hope, was one day, Father God, that I'm going to have this child. But yet the evidence was not seen because I had no child, and there was nothing that showed any evidence that a child was going to manifest. Amen? Giving you a vision. My hope, the substance of my hope with no evidence was my faith. But because of my faith, like Sarah or Sarai and Abram, their faith manifested. Even though they stumbled along the way, we may stumble along the way, but our faith manifested that day. The ministry I came out of called it a hope to a thing. So my hope became a thing. But there's some things. There's some manifestations, there's some things, there's some processes in between the hope and the thing. There's a big gap right there. There's a large gap between the hope and the thing manifesting. And sometimes that gap could be years. Sometimes that gap could be months. Sometimes that gap could be weeks. Sometimes it could just be days or hours. But there's some processes that take place between the hope and the thing. Amen. And so I want you to, I'm pushing on faith because I got you. You have to get this, because if you get the concept of faith, then you're going to get what God is trying to show us on tonight. So we read Romans 10, and we talked about in Romans 10, we talked about faith in Romans 10, then we skipped over to Hebrews 11. And we just read Hebrews 11:1, and now we're going to skip down to Hebrews 11:6. If you don't get anything that I'm saying on tonight, I may be dragging it out. You may be bored, but get this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. This is the most important. But, anybody knows, but counts about everything that was said before. But puts away everything that's said before. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Who's him? God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, I'm going to give you 6 points on tonight. Five, maybe six. I want you to take these. Tonight's show is not going to be long. I'm not going to drag it out. I believe that God had a matter of fact, right on time word. He wants you to get it. I think he's laying it so simplistic that even a baby will understand it and get it, that we cannot, first of all, we understand that we cannot say we love God and not know him. We don't love people we don't know. Let's keep it real. I mean, even me as a believer, I want to love everybody with the love of the Lord. And I say that. I say I want to love you agape, unconditional. But the reality of it is that I'm still in this flesh. And as long as I'm in this flesh, I'm not sure that I truly have the ability to love the way God wants us to love, with the agape type of love. When we have our children mothers, some of us, because every mother ain't a mother, but some of us that are mothers and fathers, we do have an unconditional love for our children, because we realize that love is contending for another's highest good in every situation until it becomes a manifestation. What does that mean? That means some of us love our kids, and they could be the biggest mess up. They could be the biggest disappointments. They constantly disappoint us. They constantly might not be doing what they're supposed to be doing. That's not my story, praise God. But I'm just saying some of it. I know with my mama, there have been times that I didn't make the right decisions. I was a rebellious teen. I was a rebel without a cause. And I'm sure there was things that I disappointed her. I'm sure there was things that I broke her heart. There was decisions and choices I was making, and it wasn't that I was directly trying to hurt her, but those decisions hurted her. And thank you, Father God, Mama, forgive me. I probably said that a million times. Forgive me. I understand now. But we've done that, but she loved me nevertheless, even in her disappointment, even in her being scared for me, maybe my decisions wasn't the right one. She never stop loving me. And that's the way our Abba Father is. He never stops loving us. Even those who don't believe. See, we may not have the ability to make the right choice to love God. But guess what? God never stopped loving us. All of us, even those that's going to hell, was created by God. And he loves them. But guess what? They have the choice. And so if they don't choose God, that's not on God, that's on them, right? But that don't stop him from loving them. So same way with our parents. So number one, if you're not reading his word, then your faith is stagnant. There is no faith. Or the little bit of word that maybe you got is stagnant, right? Number two, if your faith is stagnated, then you're not pleasing God. Why? I mean, if you don't have faith, and we understand by the word of God that without faith it's impossible to please God. So if you don't have faith or your faith is stagnant, you're not pleasing to God. And you can't trust him. If I don't have no faith, I can't trust God, because I cannot trust him. Why? Because I don't know him. Why? Because I'm not reading his word. And in order for me to know him, I got to read his word. Remember we said, and then I can't even have faith if I'm not reading his word, because the word of God says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, right? So number three, if you cannot trust him, then you will not be obedient to him. You are not going to be obedient to anybody you cannot trust. You are not going to be obedient to anybody you cannot trust. Nobody can just walk up to me off the street and say, I need you to go around the corner. When you get around the corner, you're going to see a package on the ground. I need you to pick up that package, bring it back to me. Most of us are not going to do that. We're going to ask a bunch of questions. Who are you? What is it? What? You know, all kinds of stuff going to be going through our mind. Why they want me to go get this package? They're trying to scam me. What they're trying to do? They're trying to hurt me. This is a bomb. I mean, all kinds of stuff. So we're not going to be obedient to somebody we can't trust. If you can't be obedient to him, then you do not love him. Because the word of God says, if you love God, you will be obedient. You will follow his command. Number five. Keep his commands, we must love him. So in order to keep God's command, in order to be obedient to keep his commands, we have to love him. But we can't love him if we don't know him. Which means that if we're not in his word, if you're not taking time to read his word and to study his word, then you're not taking time to get to know him. This relationship with God ain't based on the feelings. It's not based on the five senses. It's not based on your culture, your authority, and your influence. That's not this relationship with God. That has been your relationship with God. Why? Because most of us, our relationship with God was based on religion. And that is, religion is based on your culture, your authority. My religion is going to be based on what my mama did, what my mama's mama did, what my daddy did. If they was all Catholic, guess what? I'm going to be a Catholic till I die. I don't even understand the Catholic religion, but that's what I'm going to be because that's what they are. I've heard people say I was born Catholic and I'm going to die Catholic. But they don't even know. They don't even know what it is. Same thing with people. I was a Baptist. I'm a Kojic. I'm this. All these denominations that ain't God. Religion is not God. Religion is something that people have conjured up, created, that they believe lead us to God. But your relationship with God is personal, and it's called a relationship. It's not called religion. It's called spending quality time. Now, as I said that, I heard in the spirit, some people were saying, well, if that's not the case, then why are you believing the Bible? Because the Bible is religion. No, what I believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. I believe that just like God is using me to impart revelation or impart understanding to his people in the word, he did the same thing to John and Matthew and Luke and Paul, inspired. Who inspired Noah to build the ark before the world got, before God destroyed the world? Who inspired Moses to set the Hebrews or the kids of Israel free? Who inspired him? Who inspired Abram? It's inspiration. God has inspired. God, back then they didn't know, even though the Holy Spirit of God was still present, but they didn't know. They didn't have the knowledge that we do today. The Spirit of God ain't walking with us. He's imparted in us. He lives in us. So they didn't know that. We know that today. So we should have even more. We should be spending more time with God in his word so that we can increase our what? Faith. Because at the end of the day, being a believer, being a Christian, which Christian means Christ-like, being a follower of Yeshua, is a faith walk. And the reason why many of us are failing in our walk is because we have no faith. And we have no faith because we have no word. And we have no word because we're not taking the time to sit down to get into the word. Because if we take the time and if we had a desire and a true thirst to want to know who Yahweh is, then guess what? We're going to start getting into his mind. We're going to get into his mind. Why? Through the word. So we're going to get into the word. And as we get into the word, it's going to increase. It's going to develop our faith. Because our faith is hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. So our faith is growing. Why? Because we're spending time in the word of God. So then when situations and circumstances and life happen, guess what? We have enough faith to carry us through those circumstances and those situations because we're spending time in the word. We're not waiting for a situation, and you got people to do that. They don't even give God no time. Ooh, Jesus. They don't give God no time. They don't spend no time with him in his word or nothing. Only time that they get involved with God is when a crisis happened in their life. But we're supposed to be ready in and out of season. God's word don't say this in so many words, but y'all know the world, this is a saying of the world. If you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. That's the same thing with the word of God. If we stay ready, we ain't got to get ready. If we're in his word, if we're building our faith, if we're, we're exercising our faith muscles through his word. So then we already know what his promises are. We already know what his word is. So guess what? When situations come, then we can speak his word to the situation. When something comes, for me, my mind, our battle, our warfare is in our mind. And oftentimes, I'm a thinker. That's horrible. It's good in the sense that I'm a thinker, but it's horrible for me. Why? Because the enemy can't read my mind, but he could play with my mind. Then warfare in my mind. Well, guess what? The only way I can get peace is I got to speak the word of God. So I speak the word of God when my mind began to want to play tricks, when my mind began to want to go into warfare with me and have me having anxiety and worry and fear and wondering and all that stuff that, you know, that it begins to do in my mind because now I'm in warfare and I could be in warfare. But God's word is what we're supposed to speak over every situation. So for me, because I know it's in my mind, because I'm a thinker, I'm always thinking, and the enemy say, okay, let me just throw this in there. He don't know what I'm thinking, but he's throwing obstruction. It's almost like construction taking place on a roadway, and you got all these barriers, and you got these things that's telling you, you know, that's blocking you from going here and there, and it's, you know, and you get congested, and that's the way the brain could be. So God said, you know what, Coach D, when your mind be running like that, instead of allowing it to just take a stronghold on you, instead of allowing it to bring you down, instead of allowing it to cause you to fear, worry, and doubt, guess what? Speak 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and 5 over it. It says, casting down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Do you know how many times I quote that scripture? I almost quote that scripture once a day. I have to. Why? Because I'm in warfare. I'm in warfare. Why? Because I'm a child of God. I belong to God. Don't you think? Why would the enemy be trying so hard to attack you? You, my listening audience, some of you guys are being attacked in your bodies. You've been attacked in your marriages. You've been attacked on your job. You've been attacked. And you're thinking, why? And I used to think, God, I'm blowing it. I'm not doing something right. Lord, what am I not doing right by you? Why is this happening? No, I could be doing everything right by God. It's still going to happen. Why? Because I belong to him. And it's the enemy's job to destroy the anointing. It's the enemy's job to cause you to turn away from the truth. His job is to cause you to turn away from the truth. He knows that he's on a leash, and it's a limited leash. He knows his time is short, and he got a short amount of time to recruit. And he takes his job seriously. And we as believers better take our job seriously. We on a job too. We have a mission as believers. We ain't supposed to be just sitting up at home. We ain't supposed to be just sitting up at home going through social media and posting a scripture every now and then. You better do something, whatever that platform is, whether it's going out to the park, whether it's going out to the street, whether it's going out to the corner, whether it's doing a Zoom, whether it's doing a podcast, whether it's doing a blog talk, whether it's writing a book, whatever that thing, that platform is for you to get the word of God, to preach the gospel, get it out there so that these sick souls could be healed. That's what you're supposed to be doing, because that was the great commission from God. He said, go out into all the nations. Some of you may not be able to get past Compton. Some of you may not be able to get past Fifth Ward. Some of you might not be able to get past Detroit. Some of you might not be able to get past Chicago. Some of you might not be able to get past Gary. You may not be able to get past that from a mileage standpoint, but guess what? There is a platform for you to get to so that you, in your nation, in your community, in your household, to be able to preach the gospel. People need the gospel. They need the word of God. They need the word of God. And then, pardon, I'm not going to keep us long. I said this was going to be short, but look at the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to dictate to the Holy Spirit. I just knew I was going to be off before he now. But I'm going to do one more thing before we part on tonight. I got to. I have to. I'm going to go back to Romans 10 tonight. I feel like I have to go back to Romans 10 on tonight. And I'm going to go back to Romans 10, and I'm going to go to King James, and then that's going to be it. But let's get here real quick. Let's see. Coach D, you could ask the question, Coach D, why are you going back to Romans 10? We already read Romans 10, Coach D. Why are you going back there again? I'm going back there again because I read it to you through the message. I read it to you through the Message Bible, but I want to read it to you through King James. I want, because there's an anointing, and I believe whatever you heard through the message, you heard it, and it was simplistic. The term, the terminology, it was in layman terms. But now I'm going to read it to you through King James, and then we're going to close for the night. King James, Romans 10, and we did 10, 1 through 20. Brethren, my heart's desire. So, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, for you, for me, for America, is that they might be saved, for the world. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. People are saying, praise God. Thank you, God. They have a little zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And God's word says that my people will perish for the lack of knowledge. So this zeal of thank you, God, praise God, hallelujah, don't mean nothing. It's a zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, that is, oh, I love God. God got my back. God know my heart. So I could just be out here sinning and be foul. I could be have sexual sin. I could be stealing, cheating, lying, and everything else. But God got my back because he know my heart. Guess what? No, it's not going to work. It says in here, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. We got to make right to righteousness, making right choices to God. God, the choices we make need to be giving God the glory. If it's not giving God the glory, then we are not making righteous choices to God. Amen. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. So that means that when we do righteousness, we're going to live by it. We're going to live it. We're going to live righteous lives. We're going to become the righteousness of Christ. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Christ, you know, it says, let it be done on earth as it is, not as it will be, as it might be, as it shall be. It says is means done. So it says, let it be done on earth as it is already done in heaven. Or who should descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. The word is close to us. Why? Because the living word of God is living inside of us. What do you mean, Coach D? God is the word. The word was with God. God is the word. God was the word that came down to the earth in the flesh. We know that as Yeshua. He came in the flesh, and then he was, he will, he was, and he is to be. In other words, he was God in heaven. He was God on earth, and guess what? Now he's God in us when we accept. When we accept the God that was on earth as our personal Lord and Savior, the God that was on earth is Yeshua. And when we accept him as our personal Lord and Savior, guess what? He then lives inside of us. Amen? He lives inside of us. But what it says, but what saith it? The world, okay. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. So it don't matter who call upon him. So what if my white brothers and sisters call upon him? My Hispanic brothers and sisters call upon him. My Asian brothers, my Indian brothers, my black brothers and sisters call upon him. He said there's no respect of person. There's no difference. Anybody that call on him will be saved, period. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever shall believeth on him, for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, how then shall they call on him? Number 14, we are in 14. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? So it's saying, how do I call on something that I've never believed? There's people that didn't believe, but how do they call on them? And he said, and how should they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So if I never believed and I never heard, and how should they hear without a preacher? So if I never believe and I never heard, I won't unless there's a preacher. Who's the preacher? Us. You don't have to go to, you don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to go to seminary school. You don't have to get a degree. You don't have to be an apostle, a bishop, a doctor, none of that. Because when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you are now a minister of the gospel. You go out and preach the word. And see, we got it twisted because we got people that are sitting up in church and their pastors won't release them because their pastors want them to sit up in church up under them because they want to be the big eyes and they want you to be the little you. Father, forgive me. But this, I believe, is the Holy Spirit. There's no big eyes and little yous in the kingdom. When you accepted Jesus and you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit of God, you have gotten your marching order. You're studying the word, studying Christ. You're studying God that's within you. And these people that don't believe and these people that haven't heard, they haven't believed and heard because guess why? Because we're slacking. We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Because when we go forth, you know, we're supposed to be discipled and we go forth so that we can duplicate. And how shall they preach except they be sent? God is sending us. Thank God if you got a man of God that's pouring into you, that's preaching the word of God, uncompromising, and they preaching and they pouring into you and they send you out. But guess what? If you're in the wrong place and you need to be praying, you won't know you're in the wrong place, but you could be praying to God, Lord, make sure I'm in the right place. Make sure I'm getting the word, Father God, because sometimes, guess what? God is just going to have to send you out. You may not get sent out by somebody else. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who have believed our report? Who believe? 17. So then faith, this is the end. So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Father God, we thank you for your word on tonight. We thank you, Lord, that your word is penetrating. And Lord, we thank you that it comes through like a sword. And the goal is to take off and to cut off all the access garbage, all the access teachings and things, Father God, that's been implanted in us that's not correct. So, Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's revealing. We thank you that it's revelating. Father God, we thank you that it's life and that it's alive and that it's productive, Father. Father God, I pray that not one person who heard the word on tonight will be the same. Father God, you have a song. There's been a song inspired, Father God, that says, take my mind and transform it. It says, take my heart and mold it. Take my mind and transform it. Take my will and conform it to your, O Lord. In other words, take it and conform it to who you called us and created us to be from the foundation of the world. So, Lord, we just say thank you. Thank you, Father God, for your presence on tonight. And, Lord, we just give you all the honor, the glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Wow. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight to this episode. I pray that it has, I pray that it has just really touched you. And if, you know, and that it's calling us to do better. It's calling us to do better. It's calling us to strengthen our walk. And not only that, that it's calling us to do what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be going out. We're supposed to be going out into the world, whatever our world is, and we're supposed to be preaching and teaching the gospel, even if it's aisle 7 at Walmart. You know, even if it's the drive-thru at Wendy's, we're supposed to be a reflection of Christ. So I just thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight. Know that you are truly loved and appreciated. We will be together on, I believe, next Thursday. And, again, I want to make mention that those who are listening in, I do look for a guest. Now, I don't just choose guests, just anybody. But if you believe that God has given you a word, or you believe that God has given you an amazing testimony that could be a blessing to others, then I ask you to hit me up. You can reach me on MCD Network Inc., INC, at gmail.com. Again, that's MCD Network Inc. at gmail.com. On Instagram, I'm at My Coach D. On Facebook, I'm under, there's a Process in the Pain page on Facebook. Also, I'm under, let's stick with the Process and the Pain page on Facebook. Send me a message on there if you believe that you are being led by God to give your testimony or share a word. I would love to speak with you, and we'll talk, we'll pray, we'll talk. And if God says the same thing and he confirms it, then I would love to have you as a guest on my show. Again, I want to thank you all for hanging in there. It was a little long. I'm getting ready to let you go. Have a blessed evening. Have a safe, you know, for those of you who celebrate the 4th, just have a safe holiday. And we will be back on next Thursday. Good night.